In the morning, a Roman soldier came to Peter's house with messages. I was still sleeping when I heard the shouting. "I can only speak to Joshua of Nazareth," someone said in Latin. "You'll speak to me, or you'll never speak again," I heard someone else say, obviously someone who had no desire to live a long life. I was up and running in an instant, my tunic waving unbelted behind me. I rounded the corner at Peter's house to see Judas facing down a legionnaire. The soldier had partially drawn his short sword. "Judas," I barked, "back down." I put myself between them. I knew I could disarm the soldier easily, but not the legion that would follow him if I did. "Who sends you, soldier?"
"I have a message from Gaius Justus Gallicus, commander of the 6th Legion, for Joshua Bar Joseph of Nazareth."
He glared at Judas over my shoulder.
"But there is nothing in my orders to keep me from killing this dog while delivering it."
I turned to face Judas, whose face was on fire with anger. I knew he carried a dagger in his sash, although I hadn't told Joshua about it. "Justice is a friend, Judas." "No Roman is the friend of a Jew," said Judas, making no effort whatever to whisper. And at that point, realizing that Joshua hadn't reached our new zealot recruit with the message of forgiveness for all men, and that he was going to get himself killed, I quickly reached up under Judas's tunic, clamped onto his scrotum, squeezed once, rapidly and extremely hard, and after he blasted a mouthful of slobber on my chest, his eyes rolled in his head and he slumped to his knees, unconscious. I caught him and lowered him to the ground so he didn't hit his head. Then I turned to the Roman. "Feigning spells," I said. "Let's go find Joshua." Justice had sent us 3 messages from Jerusalem. Jachin had indeed divorced Maggie. The Pharisees' full council had met, and they were plotting to kill Joshua. And Herod Antipas had heard of Joshua's miracles and was afraid that he might be the reincarnation of John the Baptist. Justice's only personal note was one word: careful. "Joshua, you need to hide," said Maggie. "Leave Herod's territory until things settle down. Go to Decapolis. Preach to the Gentiles. Herod Philip has no love for his brother. His soldiers won't bother you." Maggie had become a fiercely dedicated preacher herself. It was as if she had channeled her personal passion for Joshua into a passion for the word. "Not yet," said Joshua. "Not until Philip and Thaddeus return with John's followers. I will not leave them lost. I need a sermon, one that can serve as if it was my last, one that will sustain the lost while I'm gone. Once I deliver it to Galilee, I'll go to Philip's territory." I looked at Maggie and she nodded, as if to say, "Do what you have to, but protect him." "Let's write it then," I said. Like any great speech, the Sermon on the Mount sounds as if it just happened spontaneously. But actually, Joshua and I worked on it for over a week, Joshua dictating and me taking notes on parchment. I had invented a way of sandwiching a thin piece of charcoal between 2 pieces of olive wood so that I could write without carrying a quill and inkwell. We worked in front of Peter's house, out in the boat, even on the mountainside where he would deliver the sermon. Joshua wanted to devote a long section of the sermon to adultery, largely, I realize now, motivated by my relationship with Maggie. Even though Maggie had resolved to stay celibate and preach the word, I think Joshua wanted to drive the point home. Joshua said, "Put in, if a man even looks at a woman with lust in his heart, he has committed adultery." "Really? You want to go with that? And this? If a divorced woman remarries, she commits adultery?" "Yeah." "Seems a little harsh, a little Pharisee-ish." "I had some people in mind. What do you have?" "Verily, I say unto you." I know you like to say verily when you're talking about adultery. Anyway, "verily, I say unto you that should a man put oil upon a woman's naked body and make her go upon all fours and bark like a dog, while knowing her, if you know what I mean, then he has committed adultery. And surely, if a woman do the same thing right back, well, she has jumped on the adultery donkey cart her own self. And if a woman should pretend to be a powerful queen, and a man a lowly slave boy, and if she should call him humiliating names and make him lick upon her body, then surely they have sinned like big dogs. And woe unto the man if he pretends to be a powerful queen. And that's enough, Biff. But you want to be specific, don't you? You don't want people to walk around wondering, hey, is this adultery or what? Maybe you should roll over. I'm not sure that being that specific is a good idea. Okay, how about this? Should a man or a woman have any goings-on with their mutual naughty bits, then it's more than likely they are committing adultery, or at least they should consider it. Well, maybe more specific than that. Come on, Josh. This isn't an easy one, like thou shalt not kill. Basically, there you got a corpse, you got a sin, right? Yes, adultery can be sticky. Well, yes. Look, a seagull! Biff, I appreciate that you feel obliged to be an advocate for your favorite sins. But that's not what I need here. What I need is help writing this sermon. How are we doing on Beatitudes? Pardon me? The Blesseds. We've got, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the pure in heart, the whiners, the meek, the... Wait, what are we giving the meek? Let's see, here. Blessed are the meek, for to them we shall say, attaboy. A little weak. Yeah. Let's let the meek inherit the earth. Can't you give the earth to the whiners? Well then, cut the whiners and give the earth to the meek. Okay. Earth to the meek. Here we go. Blessed are the peacemakers, the mourners, and that's it. How many is that? 7. Not enough. We need one more. How about the dumb fucks? No, Josh, not the dumb fucks. You've done enough for the dumb fucks. Nathaniel, Thomas, blessed are the dumb fucks, for they, I don't know. They shall never be disappointed. No, I'm drawing the line at dumb fucks. Come on, Josh. Why can't we have any powerful guys on our team? Why do we have to have the meek and the poor, the oppressed, and the pissed on? Why can't we for once have blessed are the big, powerful, rich guys with swords? Because they don't need us. Okay, but no blessed are the dumb fucks. Who then? Sluts? No. How about the wankers? I can think of 5 or 6 disciples that would be really blessed. No wankers. I've got it. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Okay, better. What are you going to give them? A fruit basket. You can't give the meek the whole earth and these guys a fruit basket. Give them the kingdom of heaven. The poor in spirit got that. Everybody gets some. Okay, then. Share the kingdom of heaven. I wrote it down. We could give the fruit basket to the dumb fucks. No dumb fucks! Sorry, I just feel for them. You feel for everyone, Josh. It's your job. Oh, yeah, I forgot.